Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Voice Actors Journal with Simon and Jeff. Joining me, of course, is my co-host, Jeff.
Hello, how's it going everyone?
Well, I'll answer for them. They're doing well, remember.
Fantastic, great to hear.
Yeah, remember. They can't respond, Jeff.
I know that, but it's a radio thing. You ask how they're doing anyway so they might respond, even though I know it's obviously a podcast, so it's pre-recorded. But either way, it's just good manners.
Okay, whatever you say, bro. Whatever you say.
So we're going to go there.
But ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest. Jeff, would you like to introduce our guest?
Yes, I would. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce my lovely and talented, intelligent wife, Rosa Worden.
Hello.
Hello, Rosa.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Oh, the pleasure's ours.
Well, thank you for coming on board.
It's definitely mine.
Yes, that's
right. Well, the reason we have Rosa on today is that she is a professional tax preparer. Today is sort of the day we're going to ask a bunch of really basic tax questions and get some insight of what it means to run your own voiceover business and basically run it like a business so that you can remain profitable instead of, you know, doing free work and not getting paid for what you love to do as a voice actor. So if you would like to reach us with any questions, comments, and feedback, you can reach us at thevoiceactorsjournal@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Well, let's get started, shall we, Jeff?
Yeah,
let's ask
do
some
it.
Questions.
Okay. All right.
So
I will start. I'll start off with the first question here.
Go ahead.
Now, this is a little involved in and of itself. Basically, it's asking. I'm asking, like, what is the difference between filing as an individual, say, who works for a big corporation, versus filing as an S corp or having a limited liability company? And related to that, is incorporating a good idea? Why or why not?
Okay. Well, first off, if you want to start a business, I think you should probably look into starting either a DBA, which is a doing business as. That way you get your city license, because every city will be different. And then you can decide if what type of entity you would like to be. So usually most people would be an individual business. So that would be a self-employed person. So basically when you're getting your voiceover works, you get probably a W-9, which is your independent contractor. And they will just send you a 1099 at the end of the year. So you report that as income as a self-employed person.
Cool.
The other types of entities, it would be an LLC. Now, an LLC, basically the only reason you would have an LLC would be to avoid liability. It is called a limited liability company. So let's say you do voiceover work or extra work or whatever for a company that sells some type of vitamin or drug or something like that, ends up poisoning people, and people end up suing you and along with everybody else that had anything to do with that product. An LLC would actually protect you and your assets from being taken. So it limits your liability of anybody suing your company for any work that you do.
Okay, so if you were to hawk a product, as it were, like Vitavita Vegemin, you know.
Exactly.
And it poisons people, like you mentioned. You as the voice actor could be sued for that?
Yeah, anyone that's associated with that product could be sued.
Interesting.
Wow.
I'd be curious to know how I'm liable for it, but and as the just a voice guy, but that's interesting though.
Yes. Yeah.
Huh.
Also, if you say, if you're doing some voice work, or you're doing a podcast, or you're doing something on the radio, and it violates any laws or, you know, anything that's liable to someone, they could also sue you personally for anything that you say wrong against that person.
Right, slander or libel, provide, unless, of course, you have, like, evidence to back that kind of thing up. But I get correct. What you're saying about that. Correct. Right, right. Interesting. Wow.
So having an LLC will protect you. So basically, you can have an LLC and still file as a sole proprietor, which is a self-employed person. The LLC will protect you, and you would have to file an extra tax return with the state. So, for example, the state of California, it's an extra $800 fee for having a limited liability company. Oy. So just keep that in mind as well.
Hmm.
Yikes, just in order just to have that. Yeah.
Wow. But I suppose it's sort of like buying an insurance policy, it sounds like. It, you know, in the event that somebody does sue you, that $800 just protected you. At least, hopefully, it protects you.
Correct. Yeah. So those are the two entities. The third entity is a corporation. Now, the corporation, you could have two types, which is called an S-corp or a C-corp. The only real reason you would have to make that type of entity is if you had made a lot of money and you wanted to save money on taxes. So basically, the three entities are created mostly based on what your tax bracket is, and you would have to talk to your accountant and figure out which one would be better for you.
Hmm.
So the corporation, you kind of pay money on the corporate level, the C Corp, that's the higher tax rate, but none of that income goes to you personally, so you would have to make yourself a payroll check. The S Corp, you would have to make yourself a payroll check, but not as much. The S Corp flows through from the corporation return to your personal return, so you would be claiming part of that income as part of your personal income. So there's different tax rates and tax benefits and for either one of those two.
Okay. So if we're just starting out, as it were, or we're still, you know, still trying to work our way up into becoming union voice actors, would starting off with an LLC be the best way to go, or just go as a person and eventually file as LLC, or?
Let's say you're trying to get your. What was it that you said?
Well, basically, the idea being that if you're just starting out. You know, say like uh-huh. I just started 3 years ago. Should I have filed an LLC back then, or should I do it now, or maybe a little later on when I actually am earning some money as a
You'd want to wait until you're actually earning some money.
Okay.
You know, the basically it is if you're, you know, making $20,000-$30,000 in your business, you probably should be having an LLC.
Okay.
Or you know, incorporate. So it kind of just depends on what your personal tax bracket is based on what your income is and what kind of assets that you have that you'd want to protect.
Cool. All right. That's some very helpful advice. Cool.
Oh, that's good to know. Well, our next question, Rosa, is what is the criteria for business expense?
A business expense criteria is if it is ordinary and necessary. In the course of your business. Mm. So if you're a voiceover actor and you pay, you know, $5,000 for a new suit, that would not be an ordinary necessary expense. Ordinary necessary expenses are your basic expenses, your equipment, your software, your travel expenses, your mileage for your car. Office expenses, just basic necessary expenses that would take for anybody to run the same business that you're running.
Okay. So I know one thing that I remember asking you about some while back would be when you're traveling to and from auditions, like, you know, as an actor, you might have to go out somewhere to do an audition, do your audition, then come back. All that mileage counts as a business expense as long as you track it, right?
That is correct. You would have to track it by date. Where you are going, for what purpose, and the mileage to and from your office or your home. If you have a home office, you know, track the mileage from your home. If you're working in a different location from your home that is your, you know, primary office, then you would record the mileage to and from that location.
Cool.
Cool.
I was actually just doing some numbers, and I found that I racked up an awful lot of miles doing filming as well as auditions and whatnot. So I'll be writing off a fair amount of money. I'm excited about that. But
well, good.
Dang, it was expensive, let me tell you.
Yeah, our current mileage rate is 54.5 cents per mile.
Right.
So for 2019, it goes up to 58 cents per mile.
58 cents? Seriously?
Oh,
that
wow.
is correct.
Wow. Because last year was 53.5, if I remember. So that's a significant jump.
Yes, that is a big jump.
Dang. Wow, okay.
So all keep those mileage logs, people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, do those logs, when you log them down, do you need to have corresponding like proof that you actually had, that you actually did use those mileage
yes.
to get to your certain location?
Well, if you're doing auditions, you really won't have any proof other than maybe an email or something that tells you, you know, the what that audition was for. You should probably keep that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the way I track my mileage is basically that I'll have like audition dash whatever the production was for, and then I will use whatever, however far Google tells me that it is. So if it's, you know, 20 miles one way, I'll just say, you know, it's like 20.2 miles. I'll say, okay, 20 miles one way. And then I'll put down the return trip as well. Or I'll just say round trip to this address so that I put down 40 miles for my mileage. So that it shows that I actually went back and forth to this location to do an audition for this. And invariably, I will have backup correspondence for that, since obviously I went out there for a reason. And if it's questions, oh, no, here's... you know, here's what I did this audition for, you know, to be a clown in this movie or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's always good to have backup information regarding wherever it is that you're going. So that you need to keep all of that information with you for at least usually the expenses and proof of what your expenses are. We usually advise to keep them for at least 5 years.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. Too bad we can't, expense our voice mileage, because
we work at it. We can expense our time, yeah. Which would be really great, but yeah.
No, yeah. Yeah. No, you can't expense your time. You can't expense your voice mileage. Yeah. So
that's good. I like that. Yeah. Voice mileage. I like that. That's
really, yeah, because then you'd be pinging it to different places all across the world, and that wouldn't really work.
That's true. I voiced something in Asia. I'm going to expense that. Exactly. You know, but I can't do
that. I voiced something in Russia. No problem. Yeah,
no problem.
6,000 miles. I got this. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's move on to something a little different here. So given that usually a few years into when you're actually making decent money, you know, you should get an LLC or an S corp or even incorporate if all is going so well. Mm-hmm. Would now or later, like if you're just starting out or doing it later, would it be a good idea to open a business banking account or maybe even a business credit card for your expenses?
In order for you to open a business checking account or a business credit card, you will have to have a tax ID number in the name of your business. So you would have to go with your city and do a DBA, which is a doing business as. So let's say you want to create your business as Jeff Worden Audio or Simon Audio or Simon VoiceOver Work or whatever it is that you decide what you want to do. You have to make sure that name is, first of all, not being used by any other person in the state of California. So you'd have to go to the Secretary of State website and do a search of the name of your company that you wish to use. And if you find out that name is not being used, then you go to the Secretary of State and file for a business license. So you would also have to find out if you need to file a business license also for your city. And once you get those licenses and pay those fees, then you would be able to get your checking account for your bank and a credit card. Those are always recommended to do whenever you have a business, is to keep your personal expenses and your personal income separate from your business. So it would be a good idea to keep everything in a separate checking account, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do want to also just want to bring it out. LegalZoom does it too. If you're not very comfortable in starting your own DBA, that's what I did with my own DBA. I had LegalZoom do it for me. It's a little bit expensive, but they get the job done. And I think the one requirement that you have to do on your own is to get your paperwork notarized in California.
So yes.
I think that's about it. That's the only additional work you'll have to do.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
All right. Good deal. Good deal. Let's see. Let's see. What other fun questions can we ask? So we had asked earlier about the criteria for business expenses. So as an example, like buying computer equipment or components and writing them off, that would be a valid thing to do? That actually could be used as an expense?
Yes, if the equipment is being used for your business, then yes. If it's being used for personal and business, then that's where it comes to a gray area. You have to figure out how much of a percentage you use for personal, how much of a percentage you use that for your business, and take that corresponding expense per that percentage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering if there was a specific percentage then, or I guess you can only take off so much. If it's, say, if I like a video card that I actually had to buy at the beginning of this year because it failed, so I had to get a new one. Now, a video card is critical to pretty much everything I do on the computer, both personal and business, because I got to be able to see what I'm recording so I can edit it properly and all that good stuff. And then I use it, obviously, for other correspondence with Boy Scouts and other things. So that expense, I can't take the whole thing off, you're saying. I would only be able to take, say, 50% off, just as an example.
That would be correct.
No.
Yeah. Because, the IRS doesn't really like expensing things that everybody can use all the time.
Mm. Oh, okay. So does that also apply to, let's say, your home internet that you use for your business and your cell phone? Does that?
That also goes when you're, okay. When you start getting into your home expenses, that is another type of deduction that the IRS calls your home in-office deduction. So let's say you have a special area in your home where you work. So if you have that area, you need to take the square footage of that area and relate it as a percentage of the square footage of your home. And then you'd be able to take that percentage off of all your expenses that you use for your home and your business. So let's say you have a mortgage or utilities or things like that. If you have, 1,000 square feet that you use for business, you get the percentage of that 1,000 square feet to your house, and then you can write off that percentage of all your utilities and all your other expenses that you use for that office in home.
All right. So if you have like a 2,000 foot square house or a 2,000 square foot house, you use 1,000 square feet of it, then basically it's 50% of it can be expensed.
Right.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. Sounds like we should make like a really large sound booth then, just so we can take it. just throwing it out there.
I have like five sound booths in one room.
They have different varying silences. That's why we built five of them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We got to color code them too, Exactly. Got to color code them for different clients.
Exactly.
Yeah. So being self-employed isn't really that bad of a tax advantage if you take advantage of all the things that the IRS gives you in order to, that are write-offs. You're not doing anything wrong. You're just taking advantage of the laws that are there to help small businesses.
Is there an index that you can refer to for such a thing that would actually give a list of what self-employed individuals can write off or have available to them? Maybe a better way to phrase that.
The IRS.gov actually has quite a good database on their on any expenses that you have, and that you do a search for self-employed deductions or home office deductions, And usually they'll refer you to the tax code. But if you find that a little complicated to understand, then you would actually just call someone like me that could actually help you define what those tax codes really mean.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
Cool.
All right.
And our next question, Rosa.
Okay.
In your opinion, has the current administration been good for business as a whole versus, you know, past administrations?
I'm going to get myself in trouble with this question.
We're hoping not.
I
mean, how many years have you been preparing taxes? Let's start with that.
Over about 25 years or so.
All right. So obviously with the different administrations that have come into power, you've seen the tax law. It basically changes every year, right?
Correct.
So I would imagine you see trends one way or another as to whether a given administration is good for the people, bad for people, or whatever. We're just kind of getting an idea as to what it is. We're just asking your viewpoint.
I think this current administration has its problems, but with respect to the tax code, we're still trying to figure it out right now.
Oh wow!
Oh okay.
That is so convoluted and complicated that we are taking extra classes trying to figure out what they're trying to tell us to do.
Really?
But with respect to business, small business owners are not really benefiting at all from this new administration.
Okay.
As you know, many of our larger companies, such as Harley-Davidson, are closing a lot of businesses, a lot of their manufacturing plants, because they are not getting the type of tax breaks that the current administration had previously promised. Mm. So it's going to take a while to see if this new tax law will benefit any of us or not. I think most of the people that will benefit will be lower income taxpayers that are filing individually. The tax code has been broken up into different, more tax brackets than we previously had. So we'll get a better tax break, hopefully, for our 2018 tax year. But you know, we kind of have to wait and see. We're not quite sure what to be honest, the IRS hasn't even finished creating our tax returns yet. There's still a lot that are still being revised at the moment. You know, our 1040 is now basically half a page. But we now have more schedules that we have to do in order to get the same result that we had last year. So it's just going to be a very interesting tax season this coming January and February. So
I would imagine. Is this like the most convoluted tax laws that you've seen in the 25 years you've been doing this or so?
Wow.
Does not sound like fun at all. This coming tax year is not going to be fun for any of us.
Makes me glad I'm not a tax preparer. Makes me glad I'm not a tax preparer. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Whee. Dang. Yeah, I was wondering about that because I mean, in the years I've been kind of following various economic policies, I've always, this is a big one. And just, it should be interesting. I'm curious to see how that's going to pan out.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Exactly.
And
all right,
Rosa, we have.
Yes.
I think we have one more question, Jeff.
Well, okay. Let's see what we got here. Now, since we're self-employed and all that, are there any specific forms that would be required or needed by us for taxes and income reporting? Is there anything specific we need that are used by clients, which I think you mentioned a W-9 earlier? What about if your client is overseas or you have an international client? Is there anything specific we should know about that?
According to our lovely tax law, of course you have to report every type of income that you receive, where, you know, if it's U.S. income or overseas income. It would have to be that area or that country's tax law to, they would be in charge of giving you whatever paperwork that you need to fill out in order for them to report that income to their governments. It's each country is different. So you would, if you received a check or PayPal or, you know, Bitcoin or whatever it is that you received, you are technically supposed to report it. Yes.
Okay.
So regardless of the fact if you get any paperwork from your international clients, if you don't get any paperwork from them, because I know in past experience, I've met, you know, freelance engineers that, you know, they work on projects and they don't get W-9s from international clients because they're not required to send them to, you know, independent contractors in the U.S. And from what I've been told is that you just have to report it on your own regardless of the fact.
Yes, you would report it as part of your self-employment income.
Oh, okay.
You mean you have to be honest with the IRS? Come on. Who are we kidding?
Of course
here?
You do. You always have to be honest with the IRS.
Yeah, Jeff, you have to be honest.
Yeah.
You have to be honest. This is being recorded, man. You have to be honest.
No, I hear you. No, I get that. But let me point this out. I know my wife
and
has
since,
said this to me.
And since I do all our returns, I have to say that we are always honest with the Internal Revenue Service and we report everything.
Right, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Know what I mean? Yeah. No, but I know one policy that my wife has iterated on a number of occasions that she makes it a point to try to give the government as little as possible.
What? What are you talking about?
basically, it's like being a lawyer where you try to find loopholes and all sorts of stuff. She utilizes whatever tools she can to bring down our tax as much as possible. Do we still have to pay sometimes?
I'm using the tax law in order to bring, you know, why pay more taxes that you're legally bound to pay?
No, I'm totally with you. It, as opposed to using the tax code like a tool, you're using it like a weapon, and that is fine.
And that's why that's not a bad way to do.
That's true. That is entirely true.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm in favor of like paying the government as little as possible if you're able to do so. But obviously, you want to do it within whatever legal bounds are there. You don't want to cheat the system unless you really feel the compulsion to do so, which we don't recommend. Just throwing
no,
it out there.
We do not recommend. I've had clients that have neglected to report things and have forgotten to report things and. You know, they may find you 5-6 years down the line, but, you know, your tax is now double or triple what it was if you would have filed correctly.
That's true because of interest and fees and all that good stuff, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Penalties, interest, fees. Oh, yeah.
Ouch.
You know, instead of having a, you know, $1,000 tax bill, it's now $5,000, $6,000, sometimes $10,000. And if you don't have the money to pay for it, they say, well, that's too bad. You have to pay it anyway.
Yeah, they'll garnish your wages. They'll throw you in debtor's prison, feed you bread and water. Maybe.
Well,
maybe.
Debtor's prison, not so much. You have to do a lot to get to debtor's prison. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got to do a Wesley Snipes in order to get into debtor's
there
prison.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
I think Leona Helmsley fell into that category too, if I'm remembering my history correctly. So
I don't remember.
Yeah. And also, if you live in the city of Los Angeles and you're registered as a business there, make sure you check with your local city because they'll tax you too if you're a freelancer. You know,
exactly.
Jeff.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just texted Jeff. My business tax renewal is due February 2019.
Right. Yeah. That's right. You did. Yeah. I was looking. I'm like, hey, look, a tax form you didn't pay. Hey.
No, it's a new thing. They started this whole, they call it the tax discovery unit. Stupid.
I mean, so they discovered you.
So they discovered me. Well, I started my business the same time. I think I started my business before they started this unit of discovery.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually they caught up, but I haven't made that much money anyway. So I was like, hey, you're not getting anything because my first 2 years, I didn't make anything. So I didn't get anything. So
Yeah, you want to get discovered, but not by the government or by the city.
Exactly.
You don't want that. Exactly.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Well, I am all out of questions. Simon, do you have any more, or are we good to go here?
We're good to go. We have no more questions.
All right.
Thank you
all
so right. much, Rosa, for joining.
Well, you're very
joining
welcome.
Our show. And right. Jeff, where can anyone find Rosa if they need advice or?
I would imagine that they could find Rosa anywhere they want to. Rosa, why don't you go ahead and give your address, your email, your phone number, and tell everybody where you could be found.
Sure, of course. My name is Rosa Worden of RSW Bookkeeping and Tax Services. I can be reached at area code 323-832-9866 or RSW 1040 at earthlink.net. So if you have any questions, please feel free to email me at any time.
Except maybe during tax season, but that's from January to April. She gets really stressed out. Although that's also a good time to contact her and have her do your taxes.
Well, if you have any issues with your taxes, then yes, of course, give me a call.
Yay.
Yay.
All right. Well, very cool. We're all set here. Rosa, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your highly informative information and regarding the tax code and where things
are. Hopefully it wasn't too boring. So.
No, well, I'm still awake, so that's good.
No, this is very informative, and I'm pretty sure our listeners out there will appreciate the knowledge that you have given us as self-employed voice actors. And, you know, we might be very creative doing very creative things, but when it comes to business side of things, we might not be that educated.
You may
about
need
it,
a little or, assistance.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Okay. I know that for a fact for myself. Like, I don't know that much about the business side, but I'm still learning, and I'm pretty sure other voiceover artists out there are learning as well.
All right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
Well,
we're
thank
done.
You.
We're good.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. And until next time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Bye-bye.
Music is provided by MotionArray.com.